Just as she starts crooking those sectioned arms around the black boys and they go to ripping at her underside with the mop handles, all the patients start coming out of the dorms to check on what's the hullabaloo, and she has to change back before she's caught in the shape of her hideous real self. By the time the patients get their eyes rubbed to where they can halfway see what the racket's about, all they see is the head nurse, smiling and calm and cold as usual, telling the black boys they'd best not stand in a group gossiping when it is Monday morning and there is such a lot to get done on the first morning of the week. Mean old Monday morning, you know, boys. Yeah, Ms. Ratchet. And we have quite a number of appointments this morning, so perhaps if you're standing here in a group talking isn't too urgent. Yeah, Ms. Ratchet. She stops and nods at some of the patients come to stand around and stare out of eyes all red and puffy with sleep. She nods once to each. Precise, automatic gesture. Her face is smooth, calculated, and precision made like an expensive baby doll, skin like flesh-colored enamel, blend of white and cream and baby blue eyes, small nose, pink little nostrils, everything working together except the color on her lips and fingernails and the size of her bosom. A mistake was made somehow in manufacturing, putting those big womanly breasts on what would have otherwise been a perfect work, and you can see how bitter she is about it. The men are still standing and waiting to see what she was on to the black boys about, so she remembers seeing me and says, "And since it is Monday, boys, why don't we get a good head start on the week by shaving poor Mr. Bromden first this morning, before the after-breakfast rush on the shaving room, and see if we can't avoid some of the, disturbance he tends to cause, don't you think?" Before anybody can turn to look for me, I duck back into the mop closet, jerk the door shut dark after me, hold my breath. Shaving before you get breakfast is the worst time. When you got something under your belt, you're stronger and more wide awake, and the bastards who work for the combine aren't so apt to slip one of their machines in on you in place of an electric shaver. But when you shave before breakfast like she has me do some mornings, 6:30 in the morning in a room all white walls and white basins and long tube lights in the ceiling making sure there aren't any shadows, and faces all around you trapped screaming behind the mirrors, then what chance you got against one of their machines? I hide in the mop closet and listen, my heart beating in the dark, and I try to keep from getting scared, try to get my thoughts off someplace else, try to think back and remember things about the village and the big Columbia River, think about, one time Papa and me were hunting birds in a stand of cedar trees near the Dalles. But like always, when I try to place my thoughts in the past and hide there, the fear close at hand seeps in through the memory. I can feel that least black boy out there coming up the hall, smelling out for my fear. He opens out his nostrils like black funnels, his outsized head bobbing this way and that as he sniffs, and he sucks in fear from all over the ward. He's smelling me now. I can hear him snort. He don't know where I'm hid, but he's smelling and he's hunting around. I try to keep still. Papa tells me to keep still. Tells me that the dog senses a bird somewhere is right close. We borrowed a pointer dog from a man in the Dalles. "All the village dogs are no-count mongrels," Papa says. "Fish gut eaters and no class at all. This here dog, he got instinct." I don't say anything, but I already see the bird up in a scrub cedar, hunched in a gray knot of feathers. Dog running in circles underneath, too much smell around for him to point for sure. The bird's safe as long as he keeps still. He's holding out pretty good. But the dog keeps sniffing and circling, louder and closer. Then the bird breaks, feathers springing, jumps out of the cedar into the birdshot from Papa's gun. The least black boy and one of the bigger ones catch me before I get 10 steps out of the mop closet and drag me back to the shaving room. I don't fight or make any noise. If you yell, it's just tougher on you. I hold back the yelling. I hold back till I get to my temples. I'm not sure it's one of those substitute machines and not a shaver till it gets to my temples. Then I can't hold back. It's not a willpower thing anymore when they get to my temples. It's a button. Pushed. Says air raid, air raid. Turns me on so loud it's like no sound. Everybody yelling at me, hands over their ears from behind a glass wall. Faces working around in talk circles but no sound from the mouths. My sound soaks up all other sound. They start the fog machine again, and it's snowing down cold and white all over me like skim milk, so thick I might even be able to hide in it if they didn't have a hold on me. I can't see 6 inches in front of me through the fog, and the only thing I can hear over the wail I'm making is the big nurse